Is Jehovah willing to save? Is Jehovah able to save? We will answer those questions today as we explore God's truth for the world.
The Churches of Christ bring you Truth for the World. And now, Paul Meacham, Jr.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Truth for the World. We're so happy that you have decided to join us today. I know that each of us has a very busy schedule as we live in this life and try to satisfy all of the responsibilities that we have, but we're glad that you have seen the importance of setting aside this time for Bible study, and it is so good to be able to study God's Word together with you. Last week we began a new study. All of these lessons last week, this week, and Lord willing the next two will center around the word justification. This is a very important Bible word and a very important Bible concept. We've entitled today's lesson, Who Can Justify Me? We put it in the form of a question, for it is important that we be able to answer this question. Who is it that can justify me? As we mentioned in our opening comments, there was a man who dove into a river to save a young boy. He was willing even to sacrifice his own life in order to save that boy from drowning, yet he was unable to do so. What terrible tragedy it would be if we were to dedicate our lives, dedicate even our own souls to a God who was unable to save us. Now, we began the study last week by noticing that there is an important question that must be answered. Now, of course, the question we looked at last week was a little different than this. We see that in the beginning of time, God gave man a paradise to live in. We know of it as the Garden of Eden. God gave man everything that he needed. He made man in his own image, according to Genesis 1 and verse 27. And although God had given a paradise, man by his sin chose rather punishment. Because of man's sin, God cut him off from the garden. He punished him by causing him to work by the sweat of his brow to survive and to raise the food necessary for him to live. He punished woman by causing her great pain in childbearing. All of these things brought about based on that first sin. We see, however, there was a much greater punishment, and that is the fact that mankind was cut off from the tree of life, and from that day on began to die physically. Man also died spiritually that day, separating himself from Jehovah God by his own sins. We see that things changed based on man's sin. We find the record of that in Genesis 3 and verse 6. The good news is that each person answers to God for his own sin. I do not have to answer for Adam's sin, nor do you. And you do not have to answer for my sin, nor do I answer for yours. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20 says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." As we notice, though, how the very next verse in Ezekiel 18, verse 21, indicates that God has provided, again, and provided a way for man to live even after he has committed sin. Jehovah there, through the prophet Ezekiel, says, "But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness he that hath done will live." Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. God said, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Yet there is a way for man who has sinned to live. The question then that we must answer and tried to answer last week is a question voiced by the man Job in Job 25 and verse 4. Job asked, "How then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of woman?" Do we seek justice from God, or do we want justification? The answer, of course, is clear. We, by our sin, have earned death, Romans 6 and verse 23. We do not want justice. We do not want what we deserve. Rather, we want justification. Now, for us to continue this study, it's important that we define the word. What is justification? That word in that form only appears in the Bible three times. However, various forms of that word appear many times. The three particular encounters that we have with the word justification are found first in Romans chapter 4 and verse 25. Here it is speaking of Jesus, and it says, "Who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification." Jesus was delivered to the cross, delivered unto death because of our sins. We find a great explanation of that in Isaiah chapter 53. But we see that He was raised again for our justification. If Jesus had simply died for our sins, it would not have been sufficient to justify us. But He came back from the dead, and He was raised that He might stand as our justifier. We also see the second occurrence of this word is in contrasting Adam, the man through whom sin entered the world, and Jesus, the one through whom the ultimate grace was manifested. The account is found in Romans chapter 5 and verse 16, where it says, "And not as it was that by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is by many offenses unto justification." Through Adam's sin entered the world. But through Jesus Christ, justification has come upon all. Justification is available to all, no matter what the offense or how many offenses there are. We then see two verses later, there in Romans chapter 5, that Paul concludes this particular matter by saying, "Therefore, as by one offense, or as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." We see then that man can be just because there is justification available to him. Now sometimes in defining a word, especially a Bible word like justification, it's important to go back to the original languages that were used. The Old Testament, at least the majority of it, was written in the Hebrew language. And the word justification appears many times in the Old Testament, or a various form of it does. It's from the Hebrew word tzadok. And according to those who study the languages of the past times, we're told it means to be just, to be righteous, to be in the right, to be put or made right, to appear righteous, to make someone righteous, or notice, to declare something or someone righteous. We understand then that it means to be or to make something righteous in a moral or forensic sense. Now, that may be a little difficult for us to understand. We don't use the word forensic very often. But it means that which is related to making a public declaration of something, as in a court of law. Now that's from the Hebrew word. We see the same thing repeated in the New Testament that was originally written in the Greek language. Here we find the root of the word is that dikai, and it simply means that which is right or just. We have had it defined for us by Strong's in his Greek dictionary as an acquittal. This is a court action, a legal term, whereby one is claimed to be innocent. We then find that we are looking for justification. We are looking for an acquittal. It is the act of God declaring man to be free from guilt and acceptable to himself. That's what Job was asking. How is it possible that man who has sinned can be declared free from guilt and acceptable to God? How can man be just, justified with God? Now, we said that this word in its various terms appears many times in the Bible. In the New Testament, this word appears in the form of the word righteousness 92 different times. The words just, right, or righteous, even the just one referring to Christ, 81 different times, or in a verb form meaning to justify or to be justified, 40 different times. So we see that this is an important concept. The Bible refers to it many times, and we, of course, cannot read all of those accounts on the air. To be justified, then, means to be acquitted, to be declared right. Remember, as we talk about this for the rest of this week and the next two, that we're referring to a legal term, a term that you might find in a court of law. One is brought before a judge, and he is acquitted. He is declared to be righteous. We then asked our question, the question that we've entitled today's lesson with, who can justify me? Well, the Bible answers that by teaching me that God is both just and the justifier of men. You see, Job was right. Man cannot justify himself. That was Job's conclusion. He said, if I justify myself, I condemn myself with my own words. My own mouth shows me to be perverse. We find here out, however, that since man cannot justify himself, he turns to another. He turns to God, or at least he should. That's what the Bible teaches us. We see then that justification in the Bible is tied very closely to God's grace. I want you to notice with me Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse 24. There Paul wrote, being justified freely, how? By His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness. Now notice, God is not declaring man's righteousness. God is not even declaring the righteousness of Christ, but rather Jehovah is declaring His own righteousness. Notice this, He's declaring His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. See, the Bible identifies our justifier. Who can justify me? The Bible says it is God. The Bible also tells me that God justifies the one who believes in Christ. It also says that God is declaring the fact that He Himself is just in washing away my sins. Now you see, Satan might come before God at some point and say, what you're doing is not fair. You have clearly declared in your word that the one that sins shall die, Ezekiel 18:20. That the wages of sin is death, Romans chapter 6, verse 23. That sin, when it is full grown, brings about death, James chapter 1. Now, however, you say these who have sinned can come to you and live. That they can be declared guilt-free. They can be acquitted. They can be justified. What gives you the right to do that? Now, possibly that's the charge that Satan might level against Jehovah. Jehovah then says, I declare my own righteousness. I declare my own justness, my own rightness in freeing man from his sin, and I can do so because I made the ultimate sacrifice. The justification that we seek is very closely tied to God's grace. The grace that has appeared to all men, that brings salvation, the grace that was manifested in Jesus Christ. We also see, however, that the Bible very closely ties together the justification that we seek and Christ's death on the cross. In Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 30, we read, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who can justify me? To the Romans, Paul declared that God is just and the justifier. Here we find that it is God who has delivered up His Son for our benefit. We find here that God has a predestinated people. Now, many times man has read the Bible and misunderstood this. There are those who will teach us that to be predestined means that God has chosen people on an individual basis. He may have chosen you, He may not. He may have chosen me, he may not. That God decides whether I will be lost or whether or not I will be saved. There's nothing that I can do about it. I must rely completely on Him, and if He has determined that I will be lost, there is nothing I can do. We then see that the Bible stands in direct opposition to this particular belief. For the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. We see that God so loved the world, that's the entire world, all mankind, that He gave His only begotten Son. John chapter 3 and verse 16. Did God love only an elect few individuals? No. God loved the entire world. God gave a sacrifice for all mankind. That sacrifice was Jesus the Christ. But will all be saved? The answer, of course, to that also is no. We're told to enter in at the strait gate. For wide is the great gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. We are told that most will be lost, yet God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. How do we rectify all of these passages then? And how does God's predestination fit in with this? Simply this. It is God's will. It is God's desire that all men should come to Him in repentance. God has made it possible for all men to be saved. He did so by sending Jesus to die for all mankind. So it's God's desire that we be saved. God's made the provision for all men to be saved, but God requires that man comes to Him in obedience. Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 8, teaches us that though he were a son, speaking of Christ, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. He saves those who are obedient to him. God has predestined from the beginning of time that there is an elect group of people that he will save. Did he choose us on an individual basis and force us to be obedient or non-obedient? No, of course not. Rather, God has determined ahead of time that those who are obedient to his commands, he will save. If you are a child of God today, it is because you have heard the gospel of Christ. You have believed it. You have repented of your sins. You've confessed the name of Christ before men, and you have been buried in water, baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. And God has predetermined that all those who do so come to Him and live faithfully as a child of God, He will save. That's how God predestines us, predestinates us. And once He has brought us to Him, and we live faithfully, we have the assurance that no one is strong enough to come against the will of God and against our own will and snatch us away from Him. God is the one who justifies. And when God justifies us, no one can lay any charge against us that will stand. For to be justified by God means to be acquitted, to be declared righteous by the great judge. That is what I hope for myself, for my family, my friends. That is my desire for you as well, to come to God in obedience on His terms, and He will save you. You can be part of those elect, part that has been predestined for a home in heaven because you've been obedient to Him. Until next time, this is Paul Meacham, reminding you that God's Word is the truth for the world.